I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. In the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba.
And you're listening to Nostalgic.
Know that I threw Abba for the twist of their life just then by counting us in by saying 1, 2, and not followed by 3, but 4.
Okay, fine.
And Abba looked genuine. Oh, fine.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Tell me that you love me more. Sleepless.
Okay, iPod
nights.
Commercial.
That's what my youth is for.
Oh, teenage hopes with
tears
in their eyes. That music, and we've talked about that music video before, but that music video was truly one of the first music videos that I saw and was like, this is art, and like music videos can be high art in a gallery.
And I say this every time we talk about that music video, but they on purpose hired people who weren't dancers, and they hired this one guy who was so fucking bad at dancing, but they didn't fire him because they said that he added flavor to the music video. And if you watch the music video, he's going in the wrong direction when the circle of colors are turning.
And that man is Michael Cera.
Who? Okay.
Michael Cera?
Did you just call Michael Cera?
I called
Cera
him Cera.
Michael Cera?
I think I said Cera. I gave him
Why
like kind of like.
Why would you say that?
I made him like Greek. I made him Greek.
That's disrespect.
To Michael Cera. Is he a Brampton icon?
He's a Brampton icon, I was just
going
to say.
Yeah, he's Brampton. He's Brampton
Big
icon.
Brampton icon.
Him and. Oh my God, The Weeknd, I guess.
Yes. They put.
And Alessia Cara.
Alessia Cara, who is not black.
Not black. Every time.
She's just Italian.
I forget who. Was it? I mean, I find out like a lot of people aren't black, like on this podcast. Rita Ora, one of them.
Iconic.
But, But I really, Alicia Cara was, that was shocking to me in that she was just an Italian girl from Brampton. It made her story seem automatically less important and kind of just funny to me.
It's funny.
Italian queen, like, is now like Drake's girlfriend?
Protege? Like, what?
I don't know.
What'd you say? Love
interest? I said girlfriend.
Oh, they're dating?
No, they're not. I just made that up. I'm starved for gossip.
I know, right? There's like no gossip these days. But I used to have this thing because she's so adamant about, I hate makeup. I'm not going to wear a wig. Stop bullying. I think it's so funny.
Because scars are beautiful.
Scars are beautiful. Exactly. And I'd always call her queen of not wearing makeup. Queen of being from Brampton. Queen of being black and Italian. Somebody fact check, is she black? And nobody ever fact checked. But I realized because she said herself one day, she was like, no, I'm fully Italian. I'm not mixed with anything. And I stopped doing that meme ever since because I can't trust olive-toned white people, to be honest.
And she's a flannel queen.
Queen of wearing flannel, yeah.
Queen of wearing flannel. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. This is like kind of related, but not. But do you remember that song, Wave and Flag? And remember,
give me freedom, give me fire, give me freedom. When I get older, I will be stronger. There can't be freedom.
But remember that random, and I think fact check this, but I think she was Italian too. This Italian girl who was like, she wasn't famous, but she was just like a good singer. She's just like a really good singer.
Necessary evil. Baby, you ain't nothing but a necessary evil. Unnecessary evil. And she was Italian.
She was, I think.
She has the vibe of a girl from Woodbridge. It's like.
Yes. She was musical theater kind of Canadian opera company energy. Like that. Like she probably did like a middle school Canadian opera company. And she was like the star of that song. And I remember being like, what happened to her?
Yes. She made Unnecessary Evil a bop and a half. Now that's Canadian pop history for you.
Oh,
but then she disappeared back to Woodbridge to probably run a realtor agency for her Italian.
Yeah. Her face is very realtor poster. She also, I get her confused with those Canadian ice skaters. Tessa and I don't know.
Speaking of Canadian music, do you remember Ryan Dan?
Ryan.
Oh my God. I feel like I bring them up all the time, but they are a group from Brampton. They're twin brothers and they sing gospel music. And they're Italian and they're so beautiful. Oh my God. They have this gorgeous song. This is so embarrassing. It's called Like the Sun and it's about Jesus, of course. The way that they harmonize, it's like they should have been world famous, but again, they have the vibe of Italian realtor family.
Yes, like good Italian boy.
Exactly. But they should have been world famous because their music was so beautiful.
I like already pictured, and correct me if I'm wrong, is their hair kind of like a slick back, but kind of to ear length?
But a bit, and a bit like, just a little bit, a little bit of a lift. Yeah. And they were wearing vests.
And a gold, skinny gold chain.
Oh, no chains. They're really good Italian boys.
Of course. I was going to say, like, they're singing
They're Mangia Cake Jesus. Italian boys.
Mangia. Oh, my God. I literally picture Mike Carrozza. Oh, my God. Should we bring
Yeah.
I'm
so excited for our guest.
Our guest is truly one of my dear sisters. My best friend.
And I just want to say, this is our, like, this is like, you know how a restaurant has like a house, like beer, like a house product.
Yes.
This is our house product.
This is like, and has like a cute little label, and it's very much like, oh, like if you get this dinner special, you'll get a can of this free.
No, why are you cheapening?
No, but listen, the dinner special is really yummy, and it's like, it's like expensive.
I mean, like. He's always been here.
He's always been
like a part of the brand.
For better or for worse, I will admit that Mitchell has always been there. Mm-hmm. And then, truly one of my dearest sisters. And I'm wondering now, was it a mistake to even bring her in the mix? Will the listeners finally see the real everything that made up who I am today, as in my dark past. But in truth and realness, our guest is truly a funny girl, but also an amazing artiste. She is an illustrator, Miss Thing. She is a fine artist. She is a Toronto-based artist. You could find his art at mitchduncan.ca, Canadian. He's a club kid, drag girly. You've seen, if you're anyone who's anyone in Toronto, you've seen this girly around turning looks at the clubs.
Yes, and I just also want to go so far as to say this. The first show that I ever did with Ben was...
ever.
I just channel Nicki Minaj.
We're all crying.
Was Amigas Cheetahs. Yes. And guess who did the artwork for show? Our guest. And I was like, wow, I've never been... like captured so beautifully.
Truly.
I honestly, every time I feel ugly, I think about the way you drew my face. And I'm like, wow.
Oh. Like that art was that so.
I can't be truly, mad.
Our guest has designed art for so many of the comedy girls: Brandon Ash Muhammad, Meg McKay,
gorgeous illustrator,
and honestly, a freak. I'll say it. A freak.
F R E
E French. Oh my god.
So please,
welcome.
Without further ado,
Mitch Duncan.
Yes! Clapping myself in.
Yes. Oh my god, this girl sitting before me.
Hey, Gorge.
How are you, Miss Thing?
Hi, girlies. I'm good. I'm like a little sweaty. I'm just like realizing right now, but I'm good. Mm-hmm. I just had an iced coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in my lovely boyfriend's bedroom while he plays Bayonetta downstairs.
Oh my god. So listeners should know that Mitch has a boyfriend who's in,
and also they live in a two-story house.
I don't live there.
But but the apartment is gorgeous, and I haven't been in because of COVID, so don't try to drag me through the mud. But it's a gorgeous space, and even Mitch's setup is more professional than ours is right now.
Yeah, you can see all my bags and my winter jacket in the background and my laundry.
My boyfriend is a musical recording artist, so I've got a stunning microphone.
Yes, shout out to
you're
quarterback.
You're a bit of a songstress yourself, Miss Thing. You're a bit of a singer.
Ooh, I didn't know
this. Well, like, I love to sing, but like never in public unless it would be like karaoke.
Oh my God. But Mitch is a musical girl and has been known to improvise songs at me, directed at me, that are often shady, but I'm always the better for it.
They're revealing. They reveal a truth.
We actually can't.
They can't.
Off the pod, absolutely.
Things will be revealed on this podcast, but those songs
can't. Off pod for sure, but on, it is too much. And like, I'm sure one of my aunts is listening and it would stress her out. But I've known her since we were literally in grade 9.
Yeah, since literally the first day of grade 9.
Oh my god, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Tell me the whole story, literally... I want to know everything.
So we both had Miss Kelsey's grade 9 drama class.
Okay, Miss Kelsey's at Rosedale. Woman, and she's very ABBA, whatever you picture, like, the, like, typical drama teacher to be in, like, a movie. Like, kind of airy, like, white woman, like, I scarves. Stand. Kind of, like, graying, like, hair.
Sounds like my drama
very
teacher.
That, and just very, like...
Looks like she'd, like... style like dried flowers like on the weekend.
She did.
Yes.
I would go to her house because I went to a freaky art school where like students kind of just like went over to teachers' houses sometimes. And like, looking back, I'm like, not a lot of boundaries there. But I mean, she was chill, obviously. But she had a coffee table book of tree houses from all around the world, and that's all I need to say about her.
That's quintessential. Yeah.
Incredible woman.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's where we met at Rosedale Heights.
Yes, and I remember on the first day, we were literally, like, beginning the first class, and I was, like, sitting there, and we were all in a circle, And I had this thought. I was like, there's like, something's happening here. Like, something is going on. And I was like, there's a gay in this room. And then I like looked, I looked around the circle and I saw one person. I was like, him? And I was like, no, no. Maybe him though. We actually,
oh, I know you're talking about him to this day. Still, I think he's bi.
Oh,
to this day, I wonder. Name of my book, To This Day I Wonder. and then I go around the circle and I see Benjamin mm-hmm. sitting there, you know, like wearing what I assume would be maybe an Urban Outfitters like beige cardigan with like beige
shorts. Of course,
shorts
he's
as well.
So that girl. Oh my god!
I go so that girl right there. Yes. That girl right there.
Oh my god! And that and truly, we were like, it's so weird because like you think about like an arts high school and you're probably thinking like, oh, there must have been crawling with gays. But really, like, it wasn't. Like, it truly was. And, like, not that there was, like, homophobia or anything. Or, like, everyone was kind of free to be who they were. But, like, we were, like, truly in grade 9, especially. And, like, I feel like some people kind of trickle, kind of came out. But for a while, it was, like, just Mitch and I as, like, the only two, at least, out gays in our year. In our year.
Very much the Velma and Roxy of our year.
Oh my god. Okay, that's why you two are so audacious. You were that, you're those
we're,
girls.
We're really, and
you're barrier breakers.
We're barrier breakers, and it truly, and this is also, listeners should know, Mitch and we are in Taurus season. I mean, maybe not when this episode comes out, but by when we're recording, we are in full swing of Taurus season.
Yes.
And Mitch and I are both Tauruses.
I can feel it.
Oh, that's why I feel so happy.
But look at this. Mitch, do you want
to
tell
this? Oh my god, you're about to reveal something so
this is an ABBA like, and I feel like I might have mentioned, because sometimes I mention this in passing and I feel like people don't hear it because either it's too much for them to hear, or maybe they're like, oh, maybe Ben's just doing one of his little sillies, but this is truth that Mitch is about to say. Go for it, girl. Yes, you.
Wait, me?
Oh, I thought you were.
No, I thought you were going to reveal the great secret. But okay, so the great truth that I'm about to reveal, and many similar to how I reveal great truths in my songs, what I'm about to reveal, this girl that sits before me right now on a Zoom screen, Benjamin Sosa Wright, we are born the same day.
Oh my God, sisters! Because we are sisters. Together. We make it.
And I remember finding that out in grade 9 and then literally like running into bed in the hallway and I was like, hi, did you know we had the same birthday?
Oh, that's how
and you're probably like, no.
But no, and this is where we have to be real. It's like, but I was whack to Mitch. We weren't like friends right away.
Ben!
Oh my god. Oh my god! Oh my god! Abba take our listeners. Abba's taking out a measuring stick in there. They're hitting me. Ouchie! Ouchie! Ouchie!
Ouchie! Ben. I'm getting some of that too.
Get out of the way.
I was. And what Mitch, you tell Abba your first kind of like a verbal memory of me at least.
So my first like actual memory of interacting with Ben was probably the first day of high school, if not like right at the beginning. And I was at my lockers with my ex best friend.
Oh God.
And I was probably just like being extra, like at my locker, being like, ah, da, 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 you know, like as grade nines do.
Yeah.
And Benjamin walks by, probably with his girlies at the time, and kind of reacts to my extraness and goes, shit. And walks away.
I know.
It's actually, then talk about audacity. The audacity to behave that way to someone your own age. And you know what it was? An obvious, like Mitch and I have, we worked past that moment. But that was my internalized homophobia that just didn't want to see, I didn't want to see anyone else taking up anyone's space or queer space.
Yes.
It's also definitely the Velma and the Velma.
Oh,
and the Roxy
totally.
Role,
yeah.
You know? It's also important for listeners to know that a huge part of Ben and my friendship is that he's brunette and I'm black.
It's very true.
That's a huge important duality.
And because that archetype exists in like many forms. I mean, kind of like to familiarize the Gen Z with this archetype, there's the Bella and Gigi Hadid, but like, of course, like old gays will know the Velma and Roxy, or maybe even like, I don't know. Betty and Veronica, of course. Betty and Veronica's.
Yes.
Betty and Veronica's is big. And there's something there. There's something there.
There is something there. I think.
Yeah. There's something there.
Yeah. But I also, part of that internalized homophobia was Mitchell one day came up to me and I, because Mitch was a big Lady Gaga stan.
Okay, and came up to me and was like, yes.
Do you, like, hey, Ben, do you, like, listen to Lady Gaga or something? Like, casually? And I was like, no. I was very much that gay who was like, I don't listen to You're that. Like, I know. No. And that was very great. I know, but truly, give it like 3 months. I was like fully, I was a little monster myself.
yeah,
but
I,
that was my journey. And this is what's beautiful.
Wow.
Is I feel like this is when I ever see like a self-hating gay and like there are certain comedians who come to mind. Truly, it's like I literally one common thread I notice is that they don't have like queer friends or there's a lack of like queer friendship, and I feel like you need people to like,
yes,
you need that community for people to like a check yes. your behavior, teach you, grow you, learn mm-hmm. you kind of like help each other grow. And I can't even believe I'm bringing this up, but I just watched an Irish animated film called Wolf Walkers, and it was truly a queer mm-hmm. allegory about these two girls who found out they're wolf walkers. Hello, lesbians. That's the most lesbian narrative I've ever heard. And like their whole thing that they kept said is like, it's okay because there's two of us now. And I literally, they said it a lot.
Yes!
And literally, I'm getting chills as I say it because like, yes! I was like, that's it. Like, it's like you need, it's like no one can do it on their own. And I'm like, and I was like, those are my queer friendships. And I was like, that is like, once there's, yeah.
Well, what did Velma say in that song? I can't do it alone.
That's so funny.
Chicago needs to be reclaimed as Canadiana. Yes. Because it was filmed in that Cell Block Tango was filmed in the Don Jail. Okay.
Oh my what? God.
Cell Block Tango was filmed in really? The Don Jail in Toronto, and that movie was filmed in Toronto.
That is actually incredible. Wait, so like close
literally close
to
like
us?
Riverdale girls and like
I'm
I think
clutching
we have a,
my
we have
chest
a friend who's like
because I'm like I've walked
literally,
past there
like,
so many times.
I know someone whose aunt like was a dancer in it. Allegedly.
Oh my God.
He had it coming. Yeah. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame.
He'd have been there. If you'd have seen it.
You'd have seen it.
I bet you would have done the same. Uh-uh. I start singing like full Polish. Like, oh my God. I'm on point.
I always thought that lady was so funny. I don't know why.
It's ridiculous. That movie is, and like everyone like says like camp so much these days, but that movie is like,
yes.
Is camp. Yeah. Like the part where Lucy yes. Liu, wait.
No.
Why did I literally, I just had a Kill Bill memory flash. I literally was watching Kill Bill clips before this. And
why
I had
you
a Kill Bill
Kill
flash and I was like, no, Ben, you're literally remembering the scene where Uma Thurman cuts off Lucy Liu's head.
Oh, yeah.
Full disclosure, I'm high on iced coffee. Okay.
Okay.
But
me too.
But you know.
Oh, no, go. I love what you were about to do there.
You know who loves to get high in general? And I don't. Oh, no! I ruined it!
You didn't ruin it. I think.
Our
artist could have potentially gotten.
Oh, for sure. And
I'd say there'd be bigger stretches.
Yeah.
I think.
Why don't you introduce
yes,
who we're
Mitchell,
talking
go,
about?
Tell
Mitch.
Us who we'll be discussing.
Okay, if I may, in many ways, how the songs I will sing to Benjamin reveal too much for this pod. Mm-hmm. This singer that I've chosen, many things are revealed through her songs. Do I understand what they're revealing? Not always, but it's always yes. beautiful. And the artist I've decided to speak about today is
yes!
Bjork.
Yes! And can I just say before we start getting into Bjork, when I tried to listen to her in high school, she was too galaxy brain for me. I was like, what is this? I was also on Twitter at the time. Someone said, one of my favorite Twitter accounts to date, her name's Shakira, please follow her. she said... She would always just tweet.
I think I've heard of her.
Bjork said the N-word. Oh. Bjork said the N-word. She just tweet that.
Did she?
I mean, you fucked. I'm sorry, it's not fair. But that's such a
thing. Oh my God. Did you say?
Wait, did she actually?
I don't think so, and I don't know.
Okay. I was mortified.
But I don't know. I think I Googled it after she tweeted that, and I was like, wait, I can't find anything.
Oh, my God.
But I don't know. Who knows? But so I didn't get into her, but when I was listening to her today, oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a time capsule of what
it's a party.
Alternative music sounded like in the late 90s and early 2000s also.
She's like, a freak.
Wow. We wouldn't have any of the alt pop girls if not for her.
No.
Well, okay, so preparing for this, I was watching some of her old music videos, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh my God, this is literally what Sia wants to be.
Yes! Yes!
With all the elaborate sets
and
everything.
Sia will never be. Sia will never be.
But also, what I've realized is that, like, I feel like so many of the... I mean, okay, I don't know if other people know this term, but my boyfriend and I always call these kind of singers, like, Iva Kaidi singers. Like,
the singers that sing like these.
And I feel like they all, like, started... Like, Bjork was doing that first.
Oh, my God, do it again.
Like, authentically. And now you have, like, I don't know, Ellie Goulding or whatever. Being like,
shake, give me. Abba, that was really good.
Oh my God. I'm dizzy from that. I got lightheaded from that.
Oh my God, that was... I've never loved that song at any point in my life, and now it's my favorite song.
That's my favorite part of a song that I hate so much.
I hate that song so
Those songs
bad.
Are literally,
so
like, bad. Just made for car commercials. Like, I literally, like, I never, like, hear them played anywhere else than that. Oh my God.
I always hear them on the radio and I hate it. Oh my God. But when Bjork does it, it's like, oh, that's the original. That's the mother Scobie.
Avakaides is very like.
Avakaides.
Because that like vine or something.
Oh, the banana.
Avakaides. Yeah. Welcome to my kitchen. Oh my. I love that vine so much.
Because of quarantine, that's like the only way my boyfriend and I talk.
Oh, I love that.
But like that type of singing for a while. It was like that, and like, I mean, say it before I say it again, I went to an arts high school, so I saw that emulated like IRL right before my eyes.
Oh my God, at the annual coffee house.
And there was, that was the type of singing, but I literally am like, I think it's time to bring that back. Like, yes. I don't want any more kind of like Ariana Grande kind of like a little, like a kind of pretty mm-hmm. mumbly, like. Give me like obscure. Give me like.
Sound like these.
Give me like an SNL character singing a song. Essentially.
Yes.
But Miss.
Oh my God.
But Bjork, to me, I was always scared, mm-hmm. like a little bit scared of as a kid, because I was like, this is music that like a professor mm-hmm. in an ivory tower like listens to. But then I realized like, no, Bjork is literally like, that's. She's for the people. For the like, people, she's literally, like, mm-hmm. Bjork is for people to listen while they're, like, gardening.
Yes. Have you seen that video of her beating up the reporter? This has nothing to do with anything.
I just watched it again today.
Wait, I have no idea what happened.
She's for the people.
Oh, my
God.
She
said, I will beat anyone's fucking ass, bitch.
She rips into this reporter. Yeah. Basically, she gets off a flight, and she's like, there's footage of it, like... It was recorded, and she's standing there, and I think she's pushing her son, like, on a stroller. By the way, side note, her son, look at her son's Instagram. He literally, his entire Instagram is just pictures of Star Trek.
Ew.
But he kind of looks like me, but, like, more of a straight man.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! He does.
He's kind of cute, though. Okay, cut that out. No, keep that in. wait, so what was I saying? Oh, okay, so, yeah, she's pushing her son, and this reporter goes, I think, like, welcome to Bangkok or something, and she, like, stops for a second, and, like, literally that 1 second, you're like, what's happening? What's happening? Yeah. And she turns to the reporter and, like, literally, like, jumps at her and, like, lashes out. Yeah. And they have to restrain her, and even when they're restraining her, she's
still, like trying to grab it. She's like, yeah, yeah. She's going crazy. Yo,
my God. I love that.
She makes crazy bitch music. If you listen to Bjork, guess what? You have great pussy slash. Like, you're a bad bitch.
Confirmed.
It's confirmed. I'm sorry, it's confirmed. And you know what song I will use as an example? Because I listened to it today, and I wanted to jump out of a window. Fucking, it's Oh So Quiet.
Oh,
what?
That's one of my top songs. By
what?
That's so...
I wanted to shake my ass and kill someone. Like,
have you seen the music video? Oh, the music video is really good too. It's like, it's very campy.
Ooh,
like
I
it
love
feels
that.
Like, but it's like not as quirky as her normal stuff is. It's almost like classic.
Oh,
like,
oh my god, that song is. I was like aware of that song before I knew who like Bjork was. I feel like I was like I'd hear that song and be like, wow, like that's a song. You know what I mean? Because it's so like band like. Very that, but like I truly didn't know it was a Bjork song until like maybe even like a year or two ago.
Yes,
because the girl,
has the range.
She can do a big band song like that and then do a song that's like
no, it's true, she can do a big band song like that and then do fucking a song like it was it Jorgen what is it
yoga.
Oh my!
Yeah. Oh my God.
Of like,
wait, sorry.
It reminds me of like the late '90s, that aesthetic that was like macrame quilts, fucking browns and greens, and very like, you know, textured. It's very textured.
ABBA. After the pod is done, you need to, if you haven't seen it already, you need to look up a child choir singing that song. It's one of my favorite videos. It literally makes me cry.
Oh,
it's like a big
the kids all child. In the all in the. Yes, I watch that video every week.
It's a it's one of my favorite videos.
Yes,
children.
So beautiful.
Can I say something?
Yes.
And I'm not gonna make a lot of friends saying this.
Children. That's never stopped you before.
Children singing can either be like so effective, and I'm like yes, or it could sound perverted, repulsive, creepy, freaky, tweaky. Like I literally like so for instance, like movies, like dramatic movies and like documentaries and like intense shit love to do this where they get like a children choir singing like Creep by Radiohead or something. You know what I mean?
I love that.
But like
I love
that's a time when it works. Like for, I'm thinking about like the social, I think like the Social Network trailer.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that trope?
But
in, like,
well, here's
movies?
Where I don't. Where,
I love it.
You know where I.
Wait, is that a thing?
I don't like it. In that Sick Kids commercial, the hospital for sick kids, it's like children singing.
Oh, I hate that.
And that is when I'm like, no. Like, you are. It
that's
feels exploitive. It feels like you're like pimping out children's voices to be like. It's almost like you're like positing that like the sick children are singing this. You know what I mean? Because it kind of sounds it kind of like sounds fragile.
It's too full of it.
And I'm like, that is not working. And sometimes I have a tweet in my draft that's literally like collecting cobwebs in my draft that's adding sick kids being like sick kids. It's the children singing is not working. And if anything, it makes me wish I like you don't get money. You know what I mean? So like they need maybe cut that.
This is the commentary we need right now.
Especially frontline workers listening are absolutely unsubscribing.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, God.
But, like, it's just whoever's in charge of their PR needs a wake-up call. A nostalgic wake-up call. There's something there.
Okay, but what about children singing in, like, my husband, Ryan Gosling, his band. What are they called? Dead Man's Bones.
I know that he was in a band, and I know that the drummer is someone who was in the show Heroes. The mind reader from ABBA. ABBA's about to key me. ABBA has a key held up to the camera.
Oh my god.
He has a band.
is it
called Dead Man's
Bones? Is it good?
So good. Really? No, these kids are making scary ass music, bro.
Okay,
it's so
I'm literally.
Good. It's so good.
So I don't forget. I'm just gonna download a song on my Apple.
But not to derail this conversation about Bjork. Right. Okay. So please, Mitch, tell us how did you get into Bjork?
Okay, so it's actually funny that you say that when you first listened to Bjork in high school, it felt very Galaxy Mind, because I kind of felt the same way, but also coming into high school, so I started listening to Bjork in grade 9, and coming into high school, especially going to an art school, like, I just, like, was not prepared for the level of sort of performance of liking music that went into going to an art high school. Mm-hmm. So I show up in grade 9, and I'm like, of course, I love Lady Gaga, like, that's kind of my fave. And all the kids are like, oh, we like Best Coast. Like, we love Bon Iver.
Yes.
We
Coco Rosie.
Fleet Foxes, for God's sake.
Coco Rosie.
I'm still
to... Fucking Birdie.
Okay. Isn't she the original Ivakaidi?
Oh, she's
totally
Ivakaidi.
She's the original Ivakaidi.
Besides Bjork.
That is so funny.
Anyway, so I kind of roll up to grade 9, and I'm kind of like, I don't know any of these musical references. And so I just like felt insecure about stuff like that. But then one fateful day, I was on my mom's iTunes account, kind of downloading music from her iTunes library.
Remember when you do that as a
iPod
kid?
Touch. Yeah.
So cute.
And I'm kind of like, you're kind of like, okay, like let's pull some of this. And then I see Bjork right there. B, closest to the top, right after A, if you're not familiar.
I just got that.
So she's kind of close to the top of the library, and I'm kind of like, Bjork, like, I feel like I've heard this name before, and I asked my mom about it, and she's like, yeah, like, maybe you'd like that. I don't know. She's very artsy, so I download it, and I'm kind of in grade 9 listening, and kind of being like, yes. I love this. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was my desire to be like, I need a cool artist to have to my name, but she really resonated with me. And the amazing part of that, the first album I listened to her was Post, which I think her second or third album. But the first track off that, Army of Me, was also in the trailer for Sucker Punch, which is the movie that came out that year, and was a really important scene in Sucker Punch. And there's something there. I remember seeing that movie in theaters and being like, I like this song.
Oh,
I like
my this song. God. Stop standing in front of it. But listen. You also, as someone of artistic persuasion, were you kind of like, because I know as a kid, if I saw kooky album artwork, I'd kind of be scared and be like, what is this? Did you see that album artwork when you were like first listening and be like, oh, this is going to be freaky?
Definitely. Like the costumes, the visuals, the album artwork, all of that was... Definitely. I mean, because I was a big Lady Gaga fan. I mean, still to this day, I'm a bit of a
little monster.
Yeah. But I was like a big Lady Gaga fan. Pause up. at the time. And so I was really attracted to like crazy costumes and all that stuff. So that was definitely part of it. And then I think it was grade 10. I was in art class at Rosedale with dear friend of the pod, Geneva.
She's listening. She's definitely listening.
My friend.
She loves
it. Yeah, she's definitely listening. Shout out to Geneva.
Hey, Geneva.
A girly that Ben and I have our Criterion Club with, where
we
pick Criterion movies and watch them.
Yeah, you guys do that.
It's honestly like, it makes me feel smarter.
It does.
Honestly, same. But, yeah. Anyway, she, I believe, lent me a bunch of Bjork albums in grade 10 that I then put in my laptop's disc kind of drive thing when laptops still had that, kind of download that onto my iTunes and listen to that. Mm-hmm. And that's when the Galaxy Brain really became like the goddess Galaxy.
But I feel like the ritual of like taking like a physical CD, putting it in your laptop, that like creates a special bond with you and that artist. You know what I mean? I feel like the children today, like they don't know, they literally can get any song they want like so quickly. It's almost nothing.
Yeah.
It's so
and even
ephemeral.
Like I treat music that way too, where even like bands that, and we talk about this a lot, I feel like even bands that I like, their shelf life in my like brain space for music is so much shorter the more time goes by, because like I'll download like say like like Small Black's new album that I guess I've been like anticipating for a while, but then I listen to it for like,
why I gotta be black.
I wasn't gonna say
I'm Michelle Visage besides
darling
me, yes. RuPaul, that's like Ru's favorite joke to make on drugs. I feel.
I laugh every time.
But you know what's so sad is when like kind of like a non-black guest judge will kind of make that joke and they'll do it so half-heartedly because they're kind of like, they're like, I've heard it on the show scared? And I'm scared.
Ru's like, do it.
But like,
do it.
Do it.
We're not gonna move on until you say it, honey.
But I literally feel like I then will like listen to the album for like a week and be like, whatever. But whereas albums that I like first listened to in high school that I maybe like, I don't know, downloaded illegally or burned or whatever, I feel like I treasure them more because I'm like, you were a part of me for a while.
Yeah. I think there's also like memory connected to like a physical object, like the smell even of a physical
smelling
object.
Smelling CDs. Interesting.
Bjork, I bet Bjork would do that.
She would, in order to prepare before recording.
This new album is scented like Icelandic grapes.
She did do an album a couple of years, I guess like 10 years ago now, that was all like iPad apps. Like Biophilia, with every song had an app.
That's hilarious. She's so interesting. Like... She is I don't know. I can't wrap my head around her. Even the way she like presents herself physically, even like her facial features. I'm like, you are out of this world. Like
she
truly is.
I feel like Kristen Wiig doing her. Do you remember like Kristen Wiig used to do her on SNL? Like as like a Weekend Update character. I remember like truly not. Maybe like not seeing Bjork enough in interviews to really kind of like get that joke. So really just kind of like laughing at like, I'm like, oh, Kristen Wiig's like being funny. And then like, I remember specifically my parents being like, no, like you don't understand. Like this isn't like a heightened performance. Like this is just a good impression. And then pretty literally like one. Watching Bjork in interviews and be like, this girl, I need to quote a Gen Z meme. I put her in the blunt rotation, please.
I would. I like that. She's, can I request that?
Yes. She'd be a great. I feel like she would just be normal if she were high.
Yes, yeah. Like, she's actually like she smoked some weed and she's like, huh? Like I'm not very hungry and I'm gonna go exercise to silence. Like she's just like.
She's like, honestly, I know I'm behind everyone, but I'm finishing. Digital,
I love it. Oh she, my takes God. A, she takes a hit. She's like, my name is Jen. The accent is gone.
Oh my God. She's immediately at a freshie.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yes. Oh. Can I say something about freshie? Say it. Okay, well, it's not actually about freshie, but I had fresh last night from Skip the Dishes.
Mm-hmm. Was it?
Don't order from there.
Can I tell you something?
Yes,
can I say something?
Say something.
Can I say something?
You may.
So, motherfucking small budget film shoot that I have been on in Toronto. Stop ordering from Fresh. Stop ordering from Fresh. Stop it. Do you know how these niggas season their fucking food? They throw the noodles in the ground and rub it into the dirt and put it back into the fucking box and then fucking squeeze some lemon on top of it. God. Okay? Lemon is not seasoning. No, enough. Not.
We literally paid like $500 for like two things and fries yesterday. And I was eating and I was like, I could probably make this with more spices and seasoning.
I imagine but what my mom would say. I imagine what my mom would say when I'm eating that shit. She'd throw a shoe at me for sure.
Yeah.
It was the second time I'd ever had it. And I will say the first time, and this is what reminds me of Freshie, obviously very similar names. And I think I've told Ben this story, but the first time I ever went to Fresh, I was far in the West End, and I was starving, needed something, wanted to be healthy, and saw Fresh, didn't realize it wasn't Freshie. I thought it was the same thing.
Yes,
so I kind of go there and sit down, and like I compare the experience very much to like a predatory animal or insect that looks like one thing to like draw you in, be like, we're good, I'm safe. And then you're like, you get there and you're like, oh God, like I'm being eaten, you know? And so I sat down at that Fresh and I'm kind of like looking at the menu, looking for my regular Freshie normals, you know? And kind of just seeing like things that are so expensive and like, they don't even have like protein really. And I'm kind of like, okay. But like when you're, I'm sorry to say it's stone. And you're kind of like, I guess I can't get out of this decision. Like, I have to see this through. Yeah, and then the bill comes, and for your salad, it's like $70.
So,
this story is also like, the famously time Mitchell has ever admitted that I was right. Yeah, and I remember you said it. You were like, this, you said,
you guys are such an old married couple.
Mitch, I remember like, this is the only time I'll admit that you were right. Cause I remember I was like, I think Freshie and Fresh were different. And then you were like, I don't think they are.
Can I be real?
Why that would was they me. Be the same?
That was me suppressing my trauma because I couldn't accept. So I would say that like it's taken me years to be like, that was a Fresh, that wasn't a Freshie.
But honestly,
they are different things. Because for years I was like, no, they're the same thing.
Why would they be the same thing? It's not like the keg and the keg mansion.
The keg. Oh my God, that is
that's so
but truly,
funny.
Like I've honestly never. I don't think I've ever eaten from either.
I'm sure the listeners are like obsessed with this salad talk.
Yeah, I'm sure they really want.
But
well, if you're listening to this, don't order from.
Don't
Fresh.
Order from.
That is my. If you take one thing away from this episode of podcast,
I also feel like
support just a smaller restaurant, not that stupid chain.
No, and I feel like there's no way it could be that Fresh.
Exactly.
Sorry,
you're right.
but Mitchell Duncan, what would you say is your favorite Bjork album?
Yes.
It would probably be, okay, it would probably be Post, because that was the first one that I really got into, but I also really love Debut, like her first solo album. Well, okay, first solo album as like an adult post her alternative rock career, but I will also mention that Bjork's first album was released when she was 11.
Okay, talk about that.
I'm not going to pretend to be an expert, but I did do a little bit of research. Yes. And apparently she had sung in her school assembly or something. And someone was like, this girl has the voice. Okay. And gave her a recording contract when she was 11. And she released her first album when she was 11.
What the fuck was she singing about?
Was this, like, this is the original.
Chicken, those are good.
The grass on the hill.
The bird in the sky. My mommy says, come inside.
The water in the well, I drop a stone in
it. Oh, I want to go to sleep, but I still want a snack, mommy.
I hope there's like a DJ out there listening to this that will take this audio and make it a Bjork.
Imagine Bjork finds this and she contacts you both and is like, you two write for me now. Like, you two write my...
She sues
she's like, she sues us.
She's like, Arka, I have the new tracks.
Arka, fuck you.
Tapping on Arka's window.
Arka. Oh my God. I left a USB drive in this seashell.
Arka's like, just we transfer it to me. Bjork. Oh my God.
Oh, that's really funny.
How did she get her little grubby fingers on Arka?
Oh, God.
How did they meet?
She just works with really amazing people. And I feel like everyone, like, loves and respects Bjork. So there's probably so many people that are
Is Bjork queer?
Yes. She must be.
I don't know, but I'd say she's definitely a queer straight person.
Yes, right? Because she feels so queer-coded. Like, even in Sophie's work, rest in power, we miss you, sis. It feels like very Bjork inspired. Like there are some, what am I doing? There are some Bjork-isms in her stuff. And it feels like a lot of queer people have used inspiration from Bjork.
She definitely feels very like, you know, that, oh my God, why am I obsessed with memes today? But that meme of, it's like donkey and dragon from Shrek. And they're like, if straight couples can't be queer, then explain
this. Explain this.
I'm like, that is Bjork, where it's like, even if Bjork like, doesn't identify as queer, it's like, I'm sorry, Bjork, but you are. Like, you're queer.
She's definitely done.
That's the thing. And I feel like Bjork is so galaxy brain that, like, if someone's like, Bjork, do you identify as queer? Bjork would probably be like, oh, you silly creature. Like, she'd probably, like, and then, like, kiss their little forehead and then, like, walk away. And then they'd be like, thank you for telling me. But, like,
yeah.
She has so much vagina imagery, too.
Yes.
Not that that makes someone queer.
Yeah. But it's like, it's this thing of like, I feel like, she has this kind of brain where I feel like she doesn't care about labels. Like, if somebody would be like, oh, are you like gay? She'd be like, I'm not gay. No, I'm going to go fuck with him. Like, she just doesn't see things in binaries like that.
She has this music video for Pagan Poetry, which is another really gorgeous song of hers off Vespertine, which is a really big, like, winter album.
Wait, is that the one?
Winter comes, I'm like,
I love
is that the
album.
One with Crystalline?
No, that's
the iPad. One. Okay, because former guest and listener extraordinaire, Jonas Charlie, I remember once telling him, I was like, I like the song Crystalline. And then he told me that that makes me the equivalent of like a Lady Gaga fan whose favorite album is Joanne. Yeah.
Joanne?
Interesting.
Isn't that funny? And like, I found that like such a
funny.
Very
funny.
Thing.
That is very funny.
But what I was going to say is she has that song Pagan Poetry. And the music video is literally, like, I don't know if it's her, but there's definitely, like, fucking happening in it.
Oh, okay.
But it's, like, through this crazy filter where everything's distorted.
Oh, my God.
So you see, like, boobs, and you literally see, like, a dick,
so
like, penetrating.
Hot.
I'm like, can you even say this on the phone?
That is so hot.
I love that.
And I think there's, like, something going through, like, a nipple piercing or something. But it's all through this distorted black and white thing where you can't really see anything, but you can tell what's happening.
That's really hot. I love that. I love shit like that.
Me in grade 9 being like, or probably grade 10 being like,
yeah.
I resonate with this.
That's the kind of stuff that made me gay. Like, seeing stuff like that. Being like, is that a dick? Is that a pussy? Yes. Like, media like that made me queer.
I bet Bjork would be a freak in the sheets, for sure.
Oh, she's nasty with it, I'm sure.
And, like, I'm sure, like, is, like, the sex I feel like Bjork likes is, like, you, like, buy, like, a volcanic, like, rock. And it, like, has, it has nothing to do with actually, like, the internal feelings. But it's, like, in certain days of the year, that volcanic, like, that volcano, rather, is, like, probably going to be a little bit more hot. And she's, like, that's when I will climax.
Well, the volcano near her house recently.
And that was probably the biggest climax she's ever had in her life.
And she probably was like set up the sex wing, like, we're having a grand weekend. Wait,
have either of you seen, okay, this is so whatever, but that film, oh, I'm literally forgetting what it's called. Never mind. It was just like the sci-fi film directed by Claire Denis. It was like Robert Pattinson was in it. What's it called?
I know the one you're
but there's
about.
A
I didn't see
how
it
to
though.
Be in how to be
how to, no.
How to be cool,
the YTV show
called, how to be cool.
It's called, oh my god, I'm glitching. I'm just gonna Google it, but it has a really iconic sex swing in it where oh my god, it's like, it is iconic. Claire Denis sci-fi film.
Wait, what is the Robert Pattinson
High movie? Life. High Life.
Oh,
it's High Life.
Yes.
And Juliette Binoche is like this, like freaky mad scientist woman. And she goes in the space sex swing. And it's like a sci-fi sex swing. And that is the sex swing I picture Bjork has. But it's in the center of a volcano.
Probably.
Oh my god.
Right above it.
And like the lava burns anyone else except literally because she's like built an immunity like over the years.
She's made from the lava.
Yeah.
That's really hot.
I know. I feel like music videos like will never be that again because people there's no way they would get on like Vivo. You know what I mean?
There needs to be, oh god, we sound like such old people, and music videos are still pretty cool. Like some of Billie Eilish's stuff I do like, but a lot of music videos, there's such like oversaturation in like the indie market, especially like freaky stuff, that it's like a good music video that you're getting is either from like the alt girls who have subconsciously monopolized the alt game because they have the capital to be like, I'm going to make this super crazy music video that is still authentic to my brand. But the reason it's authentic to my brand is because I have the capital, whereas all the other indie girls are like, using, you know, that same like Virgin Mobile-esque aesthetic of like one spotlight vignetting. It's hard to be as weird as like an artist like Bjork, unless you're like 100 Gex, which makes shit sound like insane. God.
There was a
I could see there being some inspiration.
And I feel like also music videos now, it's like so many like, I don't know, whatever, like, artsy tropes have been, like, tried out that, like, they go through the cycle of becoming, like, ironic or, like, to becoming authentic. You know what I mean? It's, like, I feel like now if you want to make a Virgin Mobile-esque video, people might view that as, like, an artistic choice. Like, they might be like, oh, like, that's kind of nostalgic. Like, they're doing, like, an edgy thing. Yes. And I feel like we're, like, keep going. And, like, because now it's, like, what we see, the kind of, like, lo-fi, like, everyone does, like, the lo-fi kind of, like, bedroom, like webcam-y kind of like thing now.
Can I be honest? I haven't seen any.
I know. I feel really old. I'm literally the music videos like, I'm thinking of are not from that.
The music videos I'm thinking of are like big budget, like Cardi B, like Cash Doll, Beyonce, like, you know, Megan.
I just keep thinking about the beautiful liar music video, and I'm like,
oh my god, yes, so hot. But I keep thinking about that.
Listeners should know we all did that choreography.
Can we laugh?
I mean, wait, girly, do you have a favorite Bjork music video?
Bjork music video.
That's the music video. I love her song.
Honestly, okay. I'm like, mom, if you're listening, stop listening. But I have this is kind of a random one, but I love her visuals from her most recent album, Utopia. I think that's what it's called. But she has this one music video called The Gate. And there was one, it's really stunning. It's like mostly CGI. Oh, but there was one day that I was coming down from shrooms in my bed. And I was watching that, and I was home alone, mm-hmm. and I was watching that music video, and I was like, I'm done being on shrooms. And then yeah. I was watching it and kind of going back and forth, and I was like, I get it. Totally. Yeah. She's connected to us. Yeah. Like the thing in the music video that represents us, she's giving it to us. Yes. Oh, my music.
Yeah.
And it's all this like CGI, mm-hmm. like crystalline, like refracting mm-hmm, beings mm-hmm. kind of coming out of her chest and stuff.
It's
stunning.
Was she wearing that dress?
I love freaky bitches.
Was she wearing that freaky dress?
Probably.
Because I remember you showing me this music video, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when, okay, I'm about to name drop, not a person, but a city rather. New York City. But when we were in, when we went to the Met.
I know her.
When we saw that Bjork, we saw like a Bjork yes. exhibit. Was there like, was, ooh. I forget, I actually am like trying, was that an exhibit or was it like?
So, okay, we went to the Met. Was it the Met or was it the MoMA? I think yeah. it was the MoMA. And for the Black Lake exhibit. And we okay. saw her Black Lake thing, which is, I think it was a whole room of speakers playing the music all around you mm. in the music video. Mm-hmm. But we didn't pay the extra, exactly, so we yeah. didn't get to see the rest of the exhibit. Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Boo.
we were like, let's sneak in.
We're like, let's sneak in. And then,
but the security guards, yes! they stopped us.
They threw us out.
They threw us out comically.
By the scruff of our necks, they threw us out.
Yeah.
I was about to be like, and we lost all our ketamine, but we don't do K. I was trying to make, I was trying to make a good New York joke. I feel like ketamine is very New York.
It's very New York.
I think ketamine is huge in New York.
Jesus and Marrow. That's
what I'm ketamine is the fifth sex.
Oh my God.
There's the four girls. There's the
That's funny.
I actually heard that Samantha Jones is being replaced by a bag of ketamine. By just a bag of ketamine that they're gonna place on a brunch stool, and they're just gonna have subtitles of her saying, wanna snort me.
Put me in your ass.
Honey, snort me.
Honey. Oh my God.
Honey, is there a suppository option for ketamine?
Okay, do you know what I actually thought a suppository... Like, obviously, like, I know what a suppository is, but, like, for some reason, I can't get it out of my head, the image of, like, what I think a suppository to be, which is a tea bag of something being dropped into a gaping mm-hmm. hole.
What?
is that too much for the pod?
No, it's not too much. I just
picture like a tea bag, like a bag of tea, like herbal tea, but like whatever's in there is like the medicine, and then like that being dropped
into a booty hole. What that means that the booty hole has to be a gay.
It does.
Couldn't be me.
It could not be me.
You know what?
To borrow a phrase from the internet, couldn't be me.
The vulture is going to take our review.
Vulture's going to take our review.
This episode is too messy.
Oh my God.
We're talking about booty holes.
I did investigative journalism myself, and the gorgeous soul who wrote that vulture article is a Columbia graduate. So we are in the Ivy League.
Oh, honey, the Ivy League girls think that we're good. They think that we're grand. What does that say? What does that say? But we actually should shout out the person who wrote the article. I want to make sure that I get their name and handle right.
I tried to find them on social media, but I don't think I feel like they're like off the grid.
It is Kriska, and I hate it if I'm butchering this last name, but Kriska Desir.
Thank you. So waiting much. For a response from Kriska.
I really appreciate it.
But Kriska, thank you so much.
Kriska, are you there?
Kriska pops hello? On the Zoom. She's like, I've been here listening the whole time. Hi, Kriska. But no.
They're like, you called me. Are you there?
Their write-up was so cool. I'm like, oh, Kriska gets it. Kriska gets the pod.
Yes, Kriska got it.
I definitely got the vibe that she got it.
Yes, we stand. Thank you, Kriska. But, I'm curious. I feel like this is the perfect artist to ask this question for. I'm waiting for an artist like this. We haven't had an artist like this since Gaga. But when it comes to Bjork, she's the queen of turning looks. And not even looks. Like, if a look is the outfit, she's the queen of turning dimensions. Like,
oh, yeah. You know?
She. What is your favorite Bjork dimension?
It's like, it's so hard to pick because I just feel like almost every outfit that she's had for performances or videos are so cool. Mm-hmm. I love especially a lot of the newer stuff she's been doing. She's been working with that drag queen, Hungry, who's one of my favorite drag queens and does really incredible makeup on her. I think the artist's name is James T. Mary that does these like masks for her as well in like her newer era. So I'm loving that stuff and all the dresses. But I also love like her 90s looks with just like the dots over her eyebrows.
Oh, the dots over the eyebrows like is still to this day like something like Bjork really made that a thing.
Yes. Yeah. She really did that.
I feel like all the girlies in high school really wanted to be
that. Oh my God. If I had the confidence at that time, I would have been that. I would have loved to be like,
I still don't have the confidence to do that.
Turning Euphoria looks.
Yeah, so two little dots underneath my fucking eyes. Like,
yes. Well, I tweeted this the other day. When quarantine's done, it's gotta be Euphoria.
There's no excuse. Honey, there is not a single excuse.
And if anyone says anything about that, it's like,
I think,
have you been around?
I think Bowen Yang was saying this, but how he wants after quarantine for us to go into a dark age where it's like, it's like all like there's no online. It's only IRL hedonism, like dancing, like in the streets, like eating outside. Wow. I want that. I want that as well.
Yes.
Finding out about like parties because like flyers and stuff. Flyers. Like,
could you imagine like that? The excitement that would be of like, and then like not even that, like then being kind of like having to keep the flyer so you have the information. Like that is so. That is very 90s.
The responsibility of it all. It's too easy for us to. That's all my God. I got it. That's why underground culture is dying in Toronto. It's far too easy for us to find these fucking parties. We need a Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist type heist to get to a party. I don't want to know that Kalila is hanging out at motherfucking Manifesto's after party that was advertised on Facebook. Oh my God. I want to find it.
You want to find a flyer kind of blowing in the wind and be like,
I want to
what's
smack
this?
It on the side of the head.
It's true. Like, it's, and I feel like it's turned into like, it's not even underground. They're so up high in these glassy little lofts.
It's like a monoculture.
It's like not even cool. Like, give me.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would want. Someone else needs to plan it. Yeah. Someone else needs to plan it, but like, give me like, because Kensington is dead. And when we were teenagers, like, Kensington used to be like truly a place of mischief and mayhem where like every, like,
Even in like 2014, 2015. Going to a rave in Kensington was so fun.
I've never really been to a rave.
Obviously, this is so goat. I was going to say, this is so gauche to say, but like, I live close-ish to where Honest Ed's used to be, and I've passed by the site a lot recently, and I've just, every time I'm like, why is there a condo?
I know, like, I know, literally everything in the city is a condo now. It's so sad. It's really scary.
I miss that, the rooftop of Honest Ed's.
Yes, Benjamin and I used to, don't tell the police, but Ben and I used to break onto... Or like climb onto the
very
roof
high
of
school,
Ben.
Very high school. And like, I was exhausted.
We're very like, we are young. We are young tonight.
You guys would have loved me in high school. Oh! I would have loved you, and you would have been like, let's hang out. And I would have been like, no. I would have been like, I won't let my white friends get me in trouble.
Truly, though, like, it was like a place for like high school culture was being like, oh, I found like a rooftop
to drink on
because like none of us can like do it in our parents.
Like, no, I just do it in the back, like some back trail of a car. You guys were fucking doing it on the rooftop of
I believe that I did that too.
Oh my God.
We were like very like breaking onto like a roof and like very like musical theater scene starts like jumping through rooms. Yes. Kind of being like, up here we are live.
We are free. Very...
The city is ours.
Take that.
Very, very in the heights. Very.
Yes.
Very that. Very... I wasn't going to be the one to say.
What is that other musical movie that just came out?
Oh.
I just derailed.
Well, I'm like,
The Prom?
No, it was directed by that guy that did the history movie. the history what?
Wait, like in the Heights. In the Heights.
It's in the Heights.
It's come out. Yeah, I think it's just a trailer.
There's Hentified.
I think it's just another like Latino something.
Is it a music
I don't think it is. I think it's just about a guy who works at a restaurant. My mom watched Hentified, and I think it's just about he kind of works at a restaurant, but I think the guy from Hentified is in. I think there's some crossover.
Oh, that's why I'm confused. But,
We found it.
I start crying. It's a different thing. No, because. But literally in the Heights, I saw. This is truly derailing the room. But I saw like that musical. When I came to like Toronto, and it wasn't even like a Mervish production, yeah. It came to like a Dan Cap theater, like North York subway station. Like, because Lin-Manuel, this was like way before like Hamilton, so it was very like, it was whatever, like a B level musical. But it was like,
yeah.
That musical truly is the most like city, quote unquote, like city, like urban musical where like the set is like balconies and it's just like people in Spanish popping their heads out, like being like, singing about like doing their groceries, and I remember being like, I remember like everyone talking about their little dreams or little sueños like throughout the whole thing. Like, it truly is cute, but also like it made me realize that musical theater does ruin everything. In that, like, it's so corny that watching the In the Heights trailer, I'm like, oh, like, yes, like, this could be beautiful for, like, the Latino community, but people are going to walk away watching this movie, like, truly, like, thinking what they've already suspected, which is Latinos have been corny all along. And it's true! And I can say it, but it's true. I'm like, Lin-Manuel, like, you need to give us some edge. Like, Latinos can't.
That's the thing. It needs edge. That's Lin-Manuel. That's why white people like him so much. There's no edge. Even when this man has a bunch of people rapping, they're rapping about being colonizers. That's not edgy.
Quinn showed me, like, a clip from Hamilton where they were rapping, and I was like, really like this.
Yeah,
and he was like, it's okay for you not to like this. And
yeah,
like,
he's...
Am I gonna get canceled for saying that?
No,
he's very okay. Like, and I've lots of like Latino like meme accounts that I see like are very. We'll post a picture of like Lin-Manuel and be like, we all know one T.O. like this, and I'm like, oh my god.
Can I say something? Yes. Can I say something? Bring Bjork into the blunt rotation.
Oh my god.
Take him out of the blunt rotation because he's like puff puff, like, you know,
yeah,
you
can,
like, pass it along, Lin-Manuel.
And then he gets like, weird. He doesn't get it.
It's like obviously, like, I mean, I'm not gonna. There's like very valid criticisms of him kind of like making lots of like Latinx culture like palatable for a white audience in his work, and
yes,
like especially even like I don't know, remember the whole gun thing of it all when they were gonna do the show like with miming the guns, and I was like, like this again just feels like just like hitting the mark. It feels like cosplaying, like doing the right thing. But you know what I mean?
Even that for me, it's like, I get it, because some theaters physically will not allow you to have a gun, or like a gun. Like,
they'd hate Ben.
They won't let you point it to the audience or like have it in a way that's like, I don't know. I've heard that that's a rule, but yeah, and it's like, it's so corny, but it's also like this thing of like, the way that he's delivering the story is I feel like the characters will come out and be like, I'm going to the grocery store. I put on my chanclas. Hola, mi amor.
It's
like,
ABBA. It's literally, that is the opening song, like word for word. And this is, I don't know. There's this film on Netflix that truly, it's one of the funniest movies I've ever seen this year. It's called The 40-Year-Old Version. And it's literally like about, it's truly like about ABBA, the song ABBA just sang, of like a playwright who is essentially, and I don't want to give anything away because it's a really good movie, but she is like selling out to pay rent, essentially, because she's like, she was a part of a 30 under 30, and now she's 40, and she's like feeling her stars fading, so she's finally like, whatever, I'm gonna give the like white, the non-black theater Broadway people what they want. I'm gonna give them like a poverty porn play, and the fake play that's supposed to be dragging like what we see at Broadway is literally a Lin-Manuel-esque like thing of like it's like the white character comes out and she's like, where can I get some soy milk in the Bronx? And then like, and then it's like, and then it's like a couple of color like rolling their eyes. And it's like that type of humor, it feels so counterproductive because it's still lending so much focus to the white character. It's explaining
to white people while their actions are probably, it's a teaching tool. I'm like, are we making art or are we making content that teaches white people?
Are we making art or are we making content?
I also just need to clarify something.
Despite me being,
my boyfriend's not a fan of Hamilton. Or Lin-Manuel.
I need to clarify something.
Because, yeah. No, I'm sure. That's very counter-quid. I also just very had a funny realization of being like, the most absurd thing for us to have done in a Bjork episode is to be talking about Lin-Manuel Miranda. Like, that's so anti-Bjork. That's like, literally on like...
It's so anti-Bjork.
Literally
opposite ends of the spectrum. Musicians are either, you're either at Lin-Manuel Miranda or you're at Bjork.
Right, that's the spectrum.
So you have the spectrum, you have like Avril Lavigne.
Exactly,
like,
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Oh, that spectrum would be so cool to make.
I want to know before we wrap up, what is your, like, what is a project that you want to see Bjork come out with before her career ends? This can be any kind of project. It can be a fucking type of hair perm. It can be anything you want.
Oh my God. I don't know why this comes to mind, but I'm like, if she did like an Ivy Park-esque like, clothing line of like avant-garde like clothing, but make it like athleisure or streetwear or something. I don't know. That just came to the top of my mind. That would be awesome. Or another movie or something.
That's actually like such a fierce
thing. I think she should do
Ivy Park, but Bjork. You know how all the girls in their Ivy Park are always like they're like doing a dance, they're like twerking, they're like hot. People like showing Bjork. Outfit
like playing
would
the
be
flute.
Like would be like just them standing still and like making a noise like and they like disappear like random clap. like parts of their
they
body
they have like a cheesecloth and they're like I'm making mozzarella
like it would be insane.
That is
I wish she'd do something like that. Oh my God,
they're like forging like their own cutlery like at a huge like hot iron forge.
It's just like the trailer for her fucking new clothing line is just a trailer for The Witch.
Oh my god.
It's directed by Ari Aster.
Just The Witch. It's her playing peekaboo with that baby.
And she's going, do you want to live?
Do you want to live deliciously?
Do you want to live deliciously?
Do you want to live deliciously?
And she's Bjork?
It's the shot with the baby, and she goes, peekaboo, and the baby's gone, and she goes, huh? And the clothes go into the baby. And you never wonder where the baby
went. Oh my God. That, Bjork so could be stupid. Great in an Ari Aster movie.
She would.
Wait, is she not going to be, what? Wait.
Googling. I'm Googling.
The director of The Witch.
Yes.
Robert
Eggers. He's directing a Viking
Is that his name?
Viking movie.
Yeah, oh, a Viking movie
with Nicole Kidman.
Listen, I love Vikings. I love Viking culture because one day somebody was like, white people, stop doing black people hairstyles. Look at all this Viking shit that y'all can be doing. That's almost akin to cornrows. That is truly white culture, but it still looks cool. And I went down this rabbit hole of like pagan like celebrations and like the costumes that they wear. White culture is really interesting, guys.
I feel like she. Bjork like is actually. Wait, is she, never mind.
Is she a Viking?
I was gonna be like, is she white?
Hey, Bjork.
Bjork is.
I was gonna be like, she actually is a white culture, but then I was like,
she's Icelandic, so she's like.
Yeah, I'm like. I guess that's.
It's white, but like alien white.
But I'm like, is she indigenous?
Yeah.
This is a question I've been asking myself for years, and I hope I'm not getting canceled on this pod.
I should take this out. I don't want to publicly
pondering. Yeah,
I don't want to misrepresent anybody's culture.
I feel like Bjork is Bjork, period, and that is
I don't have ethnicity to
I'm light.
Woman.
But oh my god, I love that you were, because I like don't know anything about Viking culture. It truly scares me, and like my only image is like them, like on a, maybe a big, huge boat. Like that's all I picture.
So oh my god, you need to watch American Gods. There's a god yes. on the show that's after like it's a Viking.
I watched the first season of that and really like cool and liked it, but I fell off. Should I get back in? Okay,
get
I'm gonna get back in.
I'm gonna get back in. Oh, such a good show. I love it.
Yeah,
that show.
I need to watch. I was watching it like late at night, and sometimes it would. It was so mind bending too. Where I'd be like, yeah, like that part. Yeah. And I'm obsessed when the woman she takes the moon from the sky. Remember that part?
Yeah.
Like, love that.
Yes. Or the part where he's just like, I don't know if you got this. No, actually, this is a spoiler. This is in the second season.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
Wow.
But thank you. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we have to look forward to Ivy Park. No, Icelandic Park by Bjork.
Icelandic Park.
Icelandic Park is so gorgeous.
Oh my god. I'm so and you know how Ivy Park is made by Adidas? Icelandic Park is made by like
Adidas. The Illuminati?
That's a distributor.
They're like, we're coming out. Okay,
this is the funniest joke I've ever made in my life. Illuminati spelled like a loom, like sewing loom in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a Lululemon.
Lululemon. That's actually better.
A Lululemon naughty. A Lululemon naughty is releasing
A Lululemon naughty is dropping Icelandic Park. That's a theater school warm-up. A Lululemon naughty is dropping.
Oh my god. Mitchell,
you've been a great guest.
You've been phenomenal.
Gosh, thank you so much.
Where
for
can
the
children
find
you on your socials?
Yeah.
The children, if the children want to open up what many would call their iPhones, they can go to a stunning app called Instagram.
Yes.
And they can type in the little search bar, they can type in Mitch Duncan Art.
Gorgeous art.
Love.
And they can follow me. Or they can check out my website, mitchduncan.ca.
Yes.
You can find me on twitter.com at QTPup, spelled QTPup, 666, as in like the letters QT. Or you can follow my egg Instagram account at eggyofficial, spelled E-G-G-I.
Is Eggy Official posting again? Because I feel like it's been dark for a while.
Oh,
Eggy,
what? You're
Eggy. Eggy. I'm Eggy Official. This is an experience I've had so many times where people are like, you're Eggy? It's an Instagram that I post egg pics. And I think I wasn't active for a lot of quarantine, but I've been posting.
Are you like really into eggs?
I love eggs.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
We could do a whole podcast episode about eggs.
There's a thing about people who love eggs that I'm just like, that's what, like, I love eggs so much. A boiled egg. I love a poached egg, fried egg. Oh my god, am I that
my
character?
My first memory of liking food is literally like me eating an egg and like turning to my mom and being like, I love this. So
oh, that's really sweet. That's my favorite thing about kids eating is that, like, you know, the first time you ever taste something, and it's like obviously there are foods that you taste in your adulthood and you're like, wow, but as a kid, it's like different. It's like different. It's mind blowing.
For me, a food that I tried in my adulthood that I was like, oh my god, this cranberry bliss bar from
Star Wars.
Cranberry bliss bar from Starbucks, huh?
From Starbucks. I went, this bar.
You know what made me feel that way? A PBK. The PBK from Vit Bio? But it's a Vietnamese restaurant on Bloor. And please, everyone, I've been keeping them afloat. Please, everyone.
Oh my god,
them.
Yum.
Because the PBK has so much, like, there's this umami to it, and it's just.
Oh my god! Okay, my turn. I literally first thought. There's this restaurant near my parents' house called Sala Thai, kind of Greenwood name. Where they're yummy, yummy street Thai food. It's so good. They make the chef is like she's this chef Mo, iconic chef. She's doing like so many exciting things with flavors, and she makes her special pad thai, which is called Momo's pad thai, and it's more of a savory pad thai. We don't know if pad thai is gonna be sweet, and it's a pad thai with kind of like lime leaves and more of a tom yum flavor. Ooh. And it is hands up, my mouth is truly what it's the best pad thai I've ever had in my life. It's so good.
Listeners,
it's so
check
good
it out. Drop
this
their,
is real.
Drop
this is real
their,
Thai food.
Restaurants in the description.
Ooh, I have to add their ads. into the episode. I'm hungry. Oh my god, imagine we get sponsored by Toronto.
We got free food.
Do you hear that? My tummy grumbling.
I know, that's my tummy rumbling. Speaking of grumble rumbling, I'm gonna go get a snack.
Yeah, we're doing another epi.
So I want to say thank you.
Broken the ice for the day.
So much. Exactly. What a perfect way to break the ice. Honestly, what a great conversation. I feel like this could have gone on forever. But don't forget to follow me at ABAQUAN on Twitter and an extra N on Instagram. And I just had text.
From someone, I think.
Judging, it was it more of a confusing, more of a kind of like a what are they saying? Yeah,
what is this?
They're just saying something stupid. And yeah, follow Nostalgic Pod on Twitter and on Instagram, and like, comment, and subscribe.
Yes, like, comment, subscribe. Truly, the best way to support the pod is to leave a 5-star rating. So please do that. We would greatly appreciate it. You can follow me at JK Missing on Instagram, Ben Sosa Wright on TikTok and Twitter. And oh my god, just. Everybody say love.
Benjamin!
Ben, I have never seen your face immediately like fall so quickly.
I don't.
What happened there?
Everybody say love!
How can you let that happen?
That was me being like, Ben, what the... Drink some water.
Your face immediately went blank. It immediately went... Your eyes.
Have you seen
over.
That TikTok? Oh my god, it's so funny. It's this girl where she's like in the mirror and it's like me every day to myself and it's her in the mirror being like, you stupid piece of shit. Like, you idiot. Like, so, and then it's like, it says like Monday to Thursday, and then it's like me every Friday and it's her watching Drag Race and she's like, everybody say love! And she's like, how the hell can you love anybody else? And it's so... That's me.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, that is me. I'm like, I'm hideous. I'm disgusting. As soon as I take a picture or like do makeup, I'm like, wow. Tyra Banks.
This is the beginning.
Cover girl.
I'm like, the realness.
Oh my god. Well, thank you for listening. We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh my god. Okay, so you've been listening to ABBA.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.